From the San Bernardino Police Department, I'm Michelle Mahan.
And I'm Jose Castro, and this is The Briefing Room. Welcome back, everyone, to today's episode. It's Jose.
And this is Michelle.
And in today's briefing room, we're actually going to be talking about fireworks.
Yeah.
Yeah, a topic that has people polarized.
Right. They're on fire about this, too.
Yeah.
Literally.
And I say polarized because it's during the hottest time of the year. But at any rate, all about fireworks, the big controversy in our city, but we're not alone in that.
No, we're definitely not. It's a huge controversy in many other cities. Jose, did you watch national news last year while they were talking about the fireworks epidemic?
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing bits and pieces of it. I know that because you were in charge of last year's task force to roll out.
I was all about fireworks last year.
I'm sure you were very caught up on that.
I didn't have one eye on it. I didn't have my eye on it. I had my eyes on it. Yeah, for sure. It is a big controversy, and you hit the nail on the head with that. And I think part of the controversy is not just the fireworks themselves, but whether or not the police should really be doing enforcement on them.
Yeah, but you know, we do get complaints across the country about it. You're right. But you know, it is, our essence is law enforcement.
Yeah.
And as long as there is a law, then we should enforce it.
Right. And, you know, there is letter of the law, spirit of the law type thing. But mm-hmm. when we're talking about things that could be dangerous, I don't even think that the spirit of the law is available to us as much anymore. And fireworks do
not
have some
this.
Dangerous elements
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, not for this. That benefit of the doubt is long gone.
Yeah.
I guess the best place to start with this would be the beginning and why the police department is so involved in this issue.
And that's a really fair question from the public, especially when we're talking about the defund the police movement. And getting the police
that idea,
out of enforcement on so many issues. But that's really primarily about mental health and things like that. You know, but the reality is, even as people are saying, hey, we don't want the police department involved in policing us on minor issues, there's a whole nother group of people.
It's minor until it isn't.
Yeah, yeah. That feel like fireworks is a major issue.
Yeah.
And it probably does feel very minor until you light something on fire.
Very strong opinions. There's one side of the table that's all we're doing is lighting fireworks. Leave us alone. We're not doing anything.
Yeah,
and then there's the other side where it's, you have the ability to light an entire neighborhood, mountain range on fire, and all of the issues that come with it.
And this isn't like the kind of controversy that results in like just a little bit of bantering type disagreement.
Yeah, people
lose
their minds.
It's very angry kind of disagreement.
People lose their minds.
Yeah, and we're not going to put you through social media stuff today, but definitely you can see that difference even on our social media pages.
You know, but some of the things that people against fireworks lobby for are their pets.
Yes.
You know, people's pets, they oftentimes go crazy because they are frightened to death over these noises.
Yes,
these explosions.
Are. Right. And, you know, we've heard the horror stories about pets running out in the road, escaping from their yards. And residents here in San Bernardino, I know two residents have complained about their pets being hit as a result of being frightened running from the yard. And in my household, the pets are important.
Mm-hmm.
Human family first, but pet family is the very
close second. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, the day one of those critters dies, I'm going to be a little heartbroken. And, you know, I hate to see our residents going through that kind of heartbreak.
Anybody that doesn't feel that it's an issue needs to do what, and it happened on pure accident with me. I happened to be down by the dog shelter during 4th of July ish week. It was maybe like the third or the second. At any rate, fireworks were ablazing.
Right.
And the dog shelter animals were losing their minds.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I'm an animal lover, so I was already in tune to that.
Mm-hmm.
But just hearing the animals was very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
Yeah. And we hear people talking about having to medicate their animals. You know, my dog, Jack, he's pretty chill about fireworks as long as he's in the house. But my cat, Josie, she just goes berserk.
We have a big pet bull that we rescued from our shelter. Her name is Daisy, and she does not do well with fireworks.
Yeah.
And trying to control a scared 70-pound pit bull that's hiding in the kitchen is...
Right.
They just want nothing but loves. And right. sometimes you can't give them that.
Yes.
So I feel bad for her. But, you know, the human element as well.
Yeah, there's a really important human element here too.
Our servicemen and women that come from overseas are obviously now being diagnosed with various levels and forms of PTSD.
Yes.
That can be set off and triggered by fireworks.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You come from what is genuine combat, where you are fighting for your life, literally. And that comes with it, the noise and the percussion of explosions. And now you're being put in a situation where, out of your control, you're being forced to remember.
Yes.
Yeah. That's and I think terrifying for them.
Fireworks, you know, especially on 4th of July, it's an onslaught. It's a constant boom, very much mimics the sound of a war zone.
Yeah.
And so just to pull our servicemen and women back into those memories, you know, some of them, you know, maybe you're not struggling with PTSD and it's not an issue for them. But for those of them who are, this is very distressing. And you know, that there is a concern.
Need to be sensitive about
that we should be wary of setting that off for them.
And then the big, big one, the fire concern.
Yeah. The most obvious of all of them, I think, for people.
Where are we? We are at the base of a national forest.
Right.
This is
foothill
all
area.
A foothill community. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the Western United States also. We are in Southern California.
We're a desert.
Yes. We are in the midst of an unprecedented drought, not just in Southern California, but all of California and the western portion of the United States. So even Colorado, the Rocky Mountain region, they're all in a drought. So there's a huge portion of the United States that has to be concerned with that. We're obviously most focused here on San Bernardino in lovely Southern California, but this is a concern to a lot of people everywhere. So it's not just us who's in the mix on worry about this.
Longtime residents and longtime cops remember the old fire.
Oh, yeah.
That was about 15, 16, maybe 18 years ago now.
Yeah.
But it was about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. At any rate, it's given enough time for more brush to grow in the place of the burned fuel.
Yes.
And dry out, lending itself to be burnt again.
Right.
So it's just, unfortunately, that's how wildfires work. It is a cycle. I just hope that it's not this year.
Wildfires, you know, you go back to something like the old fire where there was the fire itself and it burned brush. It burned a lot of homes, put a lot of people into hotel rooms here in San Bernardino. But there was an actual part two to that because after the fire that winter, when we had our rainy season, we had massive mudslides here in San Bernardino. And so that was the second way that the fire victimized people here in town. And that's pretty common where in burn areas, they worry about that secondary mud flow that's coming during our brief.
You don't think about it.
Rain season here.
But it's a very big deal. Yeah, I agree. And that's the main concern. Again, the prevention of fires, fire and injury.
Right.
We also have to deal with the accidental explosions in hands, blowing fingers and limbs off. And obviously, nobody wants to see. A couple of years ago, we did have a juvenile who lost a portion of their hand to fireworks. And that's just one story out of hundreds that I'm sure occur every year.
Yeah, it's not just police departments and fire departments that are pounded and inundated with work on 4th of July and the days leading up to it. It's also emergency rooms. Hospitals are treating those burn victims. They're treating those people that have blown things off, you know, whether it's fingers or hands. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to be real honest about what happened with that. So, of course, that brings in the law enforcement response. So, you know, it can tie up quite a bit of resources. And, you know, those resources could be better spent on other things.
Exactly. But so and so then that's why you do the proactive enforcement to try to minimize on the back end.
Yes.
So there's two kinds of fireworks, Michelle. There's the safe and sane. We'll talk about those in a second.
Right.
And those are the ones that are legal.
Mm-hmm.
But the illegal ones get into our state, and the way that they come into our state is it's an obvious way, but you don't think about it, and it's not until you think about it that you realize how obvious it is.
Right. So if you know what's up, you can see it happening, you know, potentially. But you know, the truth is, fireworks. The kind of illegal fireworks that we're talking about, things that shoot up in the air.
The dangerous ones.
Yes. The things that you would normally associate with like a professional fireworks show, those aren't actually things that the public is coming up with here in California. A lot of times they're driving to out of state locations to purchase fireworks.
Where it's legal for those fireworks.
Right. So take, for example, here in Southern California and San Bernardino in particular, a lot of the fireworks that we see come into our town actually come from out of state in a little town called Pahrump, Nevada. And they have a big fireworks stand there. People go up there, they buy fireworks, they bring them back down, sometimes by the truckload.
By the U-Haul truckload.
You know, a lot of them are trunks of cars, but by the U-Haul truckload, they bring them down in here. And it's a really lucrative business, because if you spend $1,000 on fireworks up at the fireworks stand, you could potentially come down, take a small portion for your own personal show, and basically flip those fireworks, sell them for much more than you paid for them.
So law enforcement, fire personnel are... We are aware of the problem. There are actual interdiction teams that are staging at the border and picking off these vehicles as best they can.
Yes.
And these aren't traffic violations. Oftentimes, depending on the quantity and the history, it can be felony, explosives, trafficking type of violations.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think, okay, well, you know, how are they doing that? Well, you know, they'll find somebody on a car stop, and we do use bomb detecting dogs that are proficient at detecting fireworks as well. So you might go up there and take a risk and maybe you'll get away with it, but maybe you won't. And if you don't, you're risking potentially a felony arrest. So you gotta weigh the pros and cons here. And are fireworks really worth a felony record?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how the illegal, dangerous ones get in. We have the safe and sane ones, and those are sold in certain cities. Ours is one of those cities.
Yes. So
obviously it's not that we don't want you to have an enjoyable 4th of July weekend. We just want you to have a safe and enjoyable 4th of July weekend.
We're all about boundaries here.
Absolutely.
Literally boundaries in this city. So
respecting your neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are even physical boundaries. So when we have fireworks stands here in the city, they're always licensed fireworks stands. Usually there's some kind of a charitable organization that's gotten a permit, and they spend their earnings on whatever they earn, and they pay a portion back to the city. We use that for fireworks enforcement to fund that and other educational campaigns for fireworks.
Which this is part of that educational campaign.
Yes, absolutely. So those fireworks stands might be sanctioned by the city, but they're placed in locations so that fireworks are only sold in legal areas of the city to use fireworks.
Yes, that's a common rationale that I've heard when issuing citations is, but I bought these in the city. And yes, you can buy safe and sane in the city, but you can't use them everywhere in the city.
Right.
Where is it you can't use those, Michelle?
Well, that's where we get back to that magic word of boundaries.
Yep.
So we talk about general boundary in the city of San Bernardino is anything north of the 210, or we also call it the Crosstown Freeway. So anything north of that freeway. Now, for those of you who are directionally challenged, that means between the freeway, the 210 freeway, and the mountains. So
the big ones,
the big mountains on the south end of town, we have the little mountains, but on the north end of town, you know, we have a very large mountain range. And so if you are between the freeway and those mountains, fireworks are not for you. And that's fireworks of any kind, safe and sane or illegal.
And that's those foothills that we talked about.
Yes.
That is the base of the mountain. If something were to catch there, it would lead to catastrophe.
Up
the mountain.
Days of fire, millions of dollars of resources to put it out, and likely homes lost.
But then south of the freeway, or 30th Street, if you want to look at it from the street grid level, there's a few pockets that you can't have fireworks.
Right.
Paris Hill Park.
Yes.
It's a mountain, I guess, a hill with dry brush on it, and that would be an illogical place to light fireworks.
And there's another little area near Patton State Hospital
on the east end. Okay.
Yeah, there's a little pocket there where some neighborhoods south of the 210 freeway cannot have fireworks. But that's because the freeway bends and then nears fire, you know, some foothills in the other direction. So
for the same reasons, the fire danger is just too high.
Yeah, so we put maps up all over our website.
How convenient.
Yes. So we're not asking you just to hear what we're saying. we have visual aids that are available on our social media.
Our social media, the city's website,
yeah,
has maps. I've seen some of the municipal codes summarized on there for residents.
Yeah.
What if they don't have access to the internet?
Well, that's okay. We created a mailer to go out in your water bill.
Hmm.
So if you get water and you pay the bill for that water, a cheat sheet is coming your way about the rules of fireworks.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I
so
like it.
Even if the internet goes out, that's okay.
That would be the true crisis.
Yes.
If the internet.
Yes. Yes, for sure. I don't really want the internet to go out at all. So, there's definitely visual aids. And when you're looking at that map, just for clarification, the part in the red is the no-go zone.
The no-go.
Red equals stop. So we're saying no fireworks there.
So in those areas, absolutely no fireworks allowed.
Right.
But those safe and sane fireworks that we talked about. And when you want to know the difference, look at the packaging.
Yes.
If you look at the packaging, usually on the front, but somewhere on the packaging, there's going to be a black and white seal.
Yeah.
About the size of a quarter that indicates and says safe and sane. And then it has some other jargon on it.
Yeah.
But safe and sane will be the verbiage on that seal.
It's the state fire marshal's seal. And it does actually look like a quarter. I think that's a very good analogy for what it looks like. So if you don't see that on the box, if it's not right there on the front, very, you know, like visible, well, pick up the box and flip it around. And if you haven't seen it on the box, then maybe put that back down and buy something different.
And the safe and sane, they are not aerial fireworks. They won't go into the air and they won't shoot across the ground.
Right.
They're more of a controlled burn, I guess, for lack
of a
better.
They're stationary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So we're talking about those little fountains, you know, things like that, that, you know, a little bit of firework goes up, you know, maybe about person height or maybe about the height of the roof of your house at the most.
Yes.
Now, if you're launching things into the sky, we all know that's going to be illegal.
Yep.
So safe and sane are going to be pretty much stationary, fairly tame fireworks that are probably going to be safe for most people in adulthood to operate.
Yeah. And you know what? You'll still get some oohs and ahs from the children
right.
in the crowd.
Right.
And really, I would hope that the fireworks are for children's entertainment more so than adults' entertainment, because think about it. If you've got that much money to burn,
right.
you could direct it into so many better
Yes.
avenues. Yeah.
That's, you know, I 100% agree. And I, you know, I wonder sometimes, this is not a podcast about homelessness. That's a whole nother day. But I wonder how it feels to be a homeless person watching all this money literally go up in smoke.
Yeah. And you can invest it in so many other, other programs.
Yeah.
So location and the type of fireworks, but that's not all. There's also certain days.
Yes.
That you are authorized to light fireworks.
Yeah.
So from noon on July 1st until midnight on July 4th, you can light safe and sane fireworks in the areas south of the 210 freeway.
Right. So noon to 12 o'clock p.m. So noon to midnight every day. On those days is when you're allowed to light fireworks. So if you're at 11:59 in the morning, you're out of bounds. If you're at 12:01 in the morning, you're out of bounds on the times when you can light fireworks. So noon to midnight on July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So that's 4 days to light fireworks. That's plenty of time. But on July 5th, that's over. And it has to stop.
And then remember, when you're buying your fireworks only from authorized vendors,
yes.
none of that street corner, psst, you want to buy some fireworks. And
right.
a guy ushers you over to his van.
Right. Or says, hey, come by my garage. I got a bunch of fireworks in my garage. Come pick them up.
That's like a weird setup for failure.
Right.
Yeah.
So if it's not an authorized vendor, like an upfront fireworks stand that's selling them, and I don't mean like, yeah, he's up front on the street corner from the bed of his pickup truck. I mean, like an actual designated fireworks stand is where you should be buying them from. And if it feels shady, it's probably shady.
I can think of very few deals that go well that begin with, psst,
come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want the good stuff?
And then even so, if you're within the times, the locations, and the type of fireworks, they have to be lit on private property.
Yes.
And preferably your own private property.
Yes.
And so by that, I mean, you can't go to a elementary school parking lot with all of your neighbors and light fireworks.
Or the park.
Or the park, which has been done.
Right. And yeah. one of the things that really, this is a tricky part for people, because this is one thing that people really don't pay attention to.
Exactly.
At all.
And even this, you know, you learn something new every couple of years, right? Every right. day, depending on right. where you're at. But this is actually a very good point that you bring up.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people, they're using fireworks, and whether illegal or legal, all the same, people are trying to keep them away from trees for the most part, you know, things like that. So people are using fireworks, and they have a tendency to go to open spaces. And in most neighborhoods, that the most open space is going to be the street in front of your house, potentially the sidewalk, depending on what the landscaping's like, but the street in front of your house. So people walk out onto the street and they light their fireworks. And guess what? The street is public property.
Yeah.
So you can't be on a public sidewalk. You can't be on the public street. You need to be at your house.
On your driveway, I've seen it. A lot of times people have concrete pads in their backyard next to their, you know, patios and pools or lawns. And that's a good area to light as well.
Right.
And because these safe and sane fireworks are designed for that controlled burn.
Right. And so we want people to understand that. And it seems, you know, people feel like, hey, it's common sense that I should be able to go out on the street. Streets are for cars, not pedestrians or fireworks.
Not pedestrians or fireworks. Exactly. Michelle, how many fireworks calls do we go to during the fireworks season?
You know me so well. I come armed with stats.
How big is this problem?
So it is important to remember that we are not alone in this problem at all. But let's compare year by year. So we'll go back 2 years to 2019.
When things were normal.
Before COVID.
Oof.
For Harry Potter fans, the year that shall not be named.
Yeah.
So 2019, we had during the time period from May 1st to July 5th, we had 920 calls for service about fireworks specifically.
Okay.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
Our dispatch center averages roughly 1,000 calls a day. So a full day's worth of dispatchers answering
phones
over fireworks. So now let's fast forward to 2020. It was rough last year.
How much?
There was 159% increase.
Ugh.
We had 2,380 calls for fireworks
during the
alone.
Same period.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So it doubled and then increased again by another half.
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Now there's a ton of reasons, you know, a lot of things were skewed last year.
Yes.
And there's a ton of reasons that you can, you know, people were cooped up and
lots of theories,
bored, and ran out of things to do inside the house.
Couldn't go to the movies to see things blown up at the movies. So you had to do it in your front yard.
You really couldn't go anywhere last year.
Right.
They were banning you from gathering in open desert.
Right. Let's face it. Last year stunk.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that was the only thing to do.
Right.
But another thing that I noticed too, and it wasn't just during the historical fireworks season.
Right.
If the Dodgers were playing and they won, fireworks. If the Lakers were playing and they won,
fireworks.
If the Clippers were playing and they won,
fireworks.
And it wasn't even just the playoffs. It was like regular season games.
Yeah. Well, it even went beyond sports celebrations. Your kids graduating from high school.
Fireworks.
Right? And it wasn't even just like the parents putting this on. It's the school district that puts it on.
And that's sanctioned. I'm sure that those were, you know, those were legal.
But we've grown this culture of fireworks equal celebration. If you're happy about something, it's a celebration.
Yeah. Michelle, the El Dorado fire.
Yes.
That was a gender reveal fire.
Yes. Again, another celebration.
Another celebration.
So what is a firework? It's a pyrotechnic device, right? So the El Dorado fire, for those of you who don't know, a lot of us locally here remember it well. It was a fire that was started off when somebody used a pyrotechnic device to put out either blue or pink smoke for a gender reveal.
Bomb. That's what it was.
Yes. Yep. And so they lit this thing off in a grassy field, not green grass, brown grass.
Yep.
And naturally, the grass caught fire. It was a boy, by the way. The grass caught fire. And the grass kept on burning into the national forest.
Yeah.
Destroyed a good portion of our national forest
here. A firefighter died, if I recall.
A firefighter died. Several people lost homes in this forest and in the fire itself. So, as a matter of fact, one of those houses was a home where foster kids resided.
You're kidding.
Right. So some kids were having a tough time in life, got put in foster care, and then are made homeless when their foster home burns down.
And these are the types of stories that we want to prevent.
Right.
It's that simple. Obviously, and you know,
those parents did not intend to light a forest fire.
Yeah.
Or
right,
to burn
right, right.
foster kids out of their home.
But that is what happened.
But that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody died, and none of that can be taken back.
So when we are enforcing these laws, citations are often issued.
Yes.
ACPs, which are admin civil penalties. That's
right.
That's a city citation.
City fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fine for the nuisance that's created, you know,
right.
for the enforcement action and for the subsequent administrative issue.
Right.
And then that could also be there could also be felony arrests that are,
right.
are attached to it, depending on the quantity and the history.
Exactly. Exactly. And last year, you know, we made arrests, but let's go back to 2019 again. Let's talk about the enforcement efforts.
That's the baseline year, I guess
yeah.
you could say.
Before crazy happened
before
in 2020.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2019, another, you know, just kind of regular year, we had all those calls for service that we talked about, but we ended up making 67, we issued 67 misdemeanor cites for fireworks enforcement related violations.
Okay.
So, and then we had 49 administrative civil penalties. So those ACPs we issued here in San Bernardino, and we collected just under 2,000 pounds of fireworks. We
okay.
seized
a
those
ton.
Fireworks.
A ton of
yes.
fireworks.
Literally a ton. So fast forward to the year that got crazy, 2020. And in 2020, there was an exponential increase in our calls for service, obviously.
Right.
So we had a corresponding exponential increase in our enforcement
okay.
statistics.
Well, good.
So we had 164 misdemeanor citations that we issued.
Okay.
So we did 116 administrative civil penalties.
Okay.
And then we seized.
So about double the firework poundage that we got, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, well, that's a nice guess, but we got 16,600 pounds of fireworks seized.
8 times.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what?
But I'm sure we still got some calls for service. So I'm sure we didn't get them all.
Oh, yeah. You know, and on top of that, we still, during fireworks enforcement, we also seized 6 firearms and 50.5 pounds of illegal drugs.
Oh, yeah. You never know when you start pulling the threads of investigations. They start as firework investigations.
Yeah.
You never know how they're going to end up leading.
So for those people who think, well, you guys shouldn't be, you know, enforcing fireworks violations, well, actually, it's not always just fireworks violations.
If there's money attached to it, there's going to be a criminal element to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we seized all of that. And, you know, Jose, did you work on 4th of July last year?
Third and the fourth. Yeah. Third and the fourth. Yeah.
This is pretty much almost everybody from our department works on 4th of July.
Yeah.
And so I was here last year. I coordinated our fireworks effort. So on 4th of July, as when dusk comes along, it sounds like microwave popcorn, the popping, you know, there's a couple
off
of pops.
In the distance.
Yeah. There's a couple of pops and then it gets busier and busier and busier as the sun sinks lower in the sky.
And it hits the houses.
Yeah.
It gets closer.
And all of a sudden, you know, the pops take off and become more frequent. And, you know, now you're really in the fireworks time. And so we'd had the most successful.
Like Persia advancing on Spartan, pounding the drums.
Yeah. So, you know, in 2019, that fireworks enforcement operation was the biggest and most successful fireworks operation we'd had to that point. And I was keeping stats last year and I knew, wow, we'd really smashed what we did the year before. We really made a difference. And so we actually climbed up on the roof of the station. You know, there's a little stairway.
You got to get a
there.
Scale. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we wanted to go have a view of the city so we could see what it looked like out there. So I and a couple other police employees went up there. And I was crushed because
it didn't make
a difference. It was worse than it had ever been before. And if you wanted to see what a picture of a dejected police officer looks like, it was me.
Well, it wasn't that bad if we got 16,000 pounds.
Yeah, it didn't make a difference. And I'll tell you, for months we got, you know, there were residents that ripped on us about it. They were so mad at us. And I can appreciate the residents are mad. They want us to be, you know, to enforce as much as we can, but we literally had the most successful operation. Our residents were mad. And I think a bunch of police officers were like, but I wasn't letting fireworks off. I was trying to do everything I could to stop it. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to be out there again this year, and we're going to be trying to make an even bigger operation than we had last year, if we can.
Yep. Michelle, I took the baton from you regarding that operation, and we started the earliest we've ever started. We started back in May.
Yep.
Staffing every night, officers going out there looking for fireworks. And now, as we draw closer to the actual holiday, the staffing is ramping up.
Yes.
And enforcement is ramping up. Mm-hmm. And those photos that we're posting on social media, that's not just mom and dad getting fireworks for a birthday party. Those are actual dealers that are the big, big handfuls, the warehouses full of fireworks that we're getting.
And we're not actually at this point looking at, posting every bust that we make.
Yeah, you can't.
But what we are trying to do is show people that, A, we're out there doing enforcement, so we're not ignoring the problem. Yes, we know that it is still happening, but we're doing what we can. And then, B, those posts serve as a warning to anybody who's thinking about selling fireworks or doing those big illegal fireworks here in the city. It's a warning, a visual aid to show people that we're out there doing enforcement.
It's not just the ACPs of the people lighting them. We're nipping it in the bud with the suppliers.
Right. So, and Jose, I know, last week I was asked for statistics on how many pounds of fireworks we had seized.
Yeah.
And we were already at 4,000 pounds.
Very good.
So, and that night, one of our teams went out and got 500 pounds more. And I checked the flammable locker. We have probably another 1,000 pounds sitting in there.
We just took a load of, I would say, about another 500 pounds last week.
So your efforts right now, Jose, are succeeding. You're getting more fireworks than we did last year already. You know, so you're on track to get more
teams.
Of that.
It's those teams. They're handling business.
Yeah, Jose has coordinated a great operation. He's got the right people, the right teams out there doing this stuff. So 5,500 pounds is roughly where we're at so far. So over 2 tons of fireworks.
And more to come.
More to come.
Yeah. Michelle, I guess what we should really drive home is use some common sense.
Yes.
You know, if everybody did that, we would be out of jobs.
Right.
But I would prefer that they did than did not.
Right. I feel like a lot of the things that police officers deal with, we kind of learned not to do in kindergarten. Yeah. Right. And be nice and be considerate of your neighbor.
You have to. They're your neighbors. You're going to see them every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're going to give
you
stink eye.
They're the ones that are calling.
Yeah.
It's not. Six blocks over that it's calling because of your fireworks necessarily. Right. It's your neighbors.
Yeah. And that little resentment that you're creating, it's not for one day.
Nope.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Nope. But you know what does hear several blocks away are the dogs.
Yes.
Dogs and cats.
Yes.
Be cognizant of that issue. And then of all the people with PTSD that you're frightening in the middle of the night. You know, I've actually heard fireworks by my house. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden at 2 a.m, one loud boom wakes you up from a deep sleep.
Sets off car alarms in some cases.
I can only imagine what it is like if you have some sort of PTSD.
Yeah. Or imagine if you have children, maybe you just got your newborn baby back to sleep and boom, baby's awake.
Yep.
That's bad news.
Respect the hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, once midnight hits, no more fireworks. People need to sleep.
And I think that whole respecting the hours, that's not just for the people using fireworks. That is also for the people that are reporting fireworks violations.
Oh, very good point.
We do need to reset the public's expectation that,
there's that myth. It's 10 o'clock. Oh, they got to shut it down.
Yeah. Well, fireworks go till midnight.
Yeah. They have a little more leeway. Yep.
Yeah. So, granted, they have specific dates that they can do that, but they can set off fireworks up until midnight. So if you're hearing fireworks and they're safe and sane, your neighbor's letting off safe and sane fireworks, and if you're in the within bounds area, not the out of bounds area of the city for fireworks, there's not really a whole lot that we could do to help you with that specific incident.
And stop lighting them June 10th.
Oh, yeah. Part of this is just fatigue. Yeah, people are exactly. sick of it by if the it, time.
Think, yeah, that's a very good point. If it was one day of everybody lighting every firework in
people
the city.
People would figure it out.
People would say, okay, today sucks. Yeah. But it's months.
Yes. It's New Year's. It's, you know, graduation.
Graduations.
It's birthdays.
Exactly.
It's
yep.
celebrations for sports victories. People are tired of it. And so by the time July 1st rolls around and you're ready to have a fireworks related party in your yard, people have been hearing it for so long. And so it's just fatigue. They're worn out already and they're not going to have the patience for it.
And remember, you're literally playing with fire.
Yes.
So you have to be careful by right. the very, I mean, that is an old, oh, you're playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, over there, you're playing with fire. You're literally
you're really
doing
playing
that.
With
yeah,
fire.
Exactly.
Yeah. These are embers on fire being shot into the sky or someplace else. So it's not a child friendly activity.
Yep.
It's an adult friendly activity.
Real adults.
Who are sober.
Yes, please.
Yes. And, you know, keep in mind, all you sober adults that are thinking of using safe and sane fireworks within the proper boundaries, that, you know, we got to be respectful of those neighbors. We did actually lose a home last year. A family was made homeless when their neighbors were using fireworks, and some of those fireworks caught some trees on fire. The trees caught the house on fire.
Yep.
And it was the fire department doesn't lollygag. The police department didn't lollygag. Everybody got there, but it's dry here. It's Southern yep. California. And that house went up like a matchbook.
Yeah.
So people lose their houses over this.
And fingers and hands. Not,
yes.
not so recent history.
Mm-hmm.
We've had little kids blowing limbs off.
Yes. So
playing with fireworks.
Even kids handling it with, you know, some people think it's okay if my kids are handling it with adult supervision. Well, do you really want to risk your kid, you know, losing a limb because of that?
Well, Michelle, now that we've ruined everyone's fun.
Yeah, I know. I feel like a killjoy.
We do want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July.
Right.
I mean, think about it. That's the birthday of the best nation in the world.
Yeah. And whether you agree with that or not, you're in a nation where you're free to have those disagreements.
As long as it's between July 1st and July 4th.
And July 4th. Yeah. So, you know, and just for those of you out there listening, Jose and I are going to be out and about on 4th of July. We'll be working because that's what we do on 4th of July around here. And part of me says, we hope we see you. But I don't want to see
yes.
you standing in your driveway when I'm writing you a ticket.
Yeah, that's the last thing I want to do. But somebody has to do it.
Do it the right way. Hopefully this has helped give you some guidelines about how to use fireworks or where you can and can't.
Yeah. And hopefully you have a safe holiday. And a
sane holiday.
Yeah. With that, Michelle, I had another great time.
Yeah. Another great time. That's our podcast for today. I'm Michelle Mahan.
And I'm Jose Castro.
And we'll see you next time in the briefing room. We'll